Scripture reading this morning is Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, and I'm reading from the ESV. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This is the reading of God's word.
If you have your Bibles today, you can go to the book of Ephesians. I bring greetings to you from Pastor Sturtz. He asked me to greet you and to say hi. He's doing well. He's feeling a little bit of jet lag. He said he felt that during preaching this morning, and but everything went well. He was thankful for the opportunity to minister there, and pray that you would be asked that we'd be praying for him and the ministry this week. And their schedule is full. They have a lot going on. He had the opportunity to meet and have dinner with. He told you he was going to be helping a teacher, a new teacher who's going to be teaching over there, a Chadian teacher. And so he had dinner with him last night. He said he was a delight to get to know and to have dinner with, and look forward to ministering with him this week. Pastor asked that we'd be praying for not only him and Scott Williquit, but praying for this young Chadian man as well. He's really nervous as he gets started in this ministry, and so good opportunity. But just be praying for them and praying for the ministry there in Chad, Africa, as he's there for the next couple of weeks, okay? So it's been a while since we've been in Ephesians. So I'm going to spend some time here just looking at it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time reviewing. You can go back and listen to messages on our website if you want to catch up, if you haven't heard those. But as I was thinking about how to start this, let me illustrate. We're going to speak on wisdom today. Every believer is called to walk in wisdom. And I thought how appropriate to tell a story here about Pastor Dave and Scott. So they were hiking in Africa, and when they spotted a lion staring at them, Scott froze in his tracks. But Pastor Dave sat down on a log, tore off his hiking boots, and pulled out his tennis shoes, his running shoes from his backpack, and hurriedly began to put them on. Scott Williquit said to him, he said, "For crying out loud, what are you doing? You can't outrun that lion." And Pastor Dave looks at Scott Williquit and says, "I don't have to. I just have to outrun you." That was not in Pastor's email, but it would have been funny if it was, to a point, right? One could say, though, that if that was true, Pastor Dave had exercised great wisdom. He made a wise decision in the midst of a precarious situation. He was able to evaluate the facts that were before him. The lion was faster than he was, but he was faster than Scott. And he made a proper application of that knowledge. While you and I may not find ourselves facing a hungry lion very often, or we may not be trying to decide in the sense of that kind of a precarious situation the wisest course of action, I would say as believers, we are to live our lives wisely. We're to live our lives wisely. We live in a world that is unwise, that lives according to untruth. And God calls you and I as believers to live wisely in the midst of that world. And I would say this, unfortunately, we don't always make the wisest decisions. Believers do not always demonstrate much wisdom in the way they live. And sometimes we're just a step away from disaster, a step away from falling, a step away from compromising a life that is pleasing to the Lord, only one step away from being a delectable meal for the world, the flesh, and the devil. This morning I want us to think about, and would like to challenge us, that you and I must recognize that every believer is called to walk in wisdom. We're going to look at Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 this morning. And the last time I preached, we looked at Ephesians 5, 3 through 14. And the Apostle Paul exhorted his readers there to live morally distinct lives. First, by separating from the immorality and the impurity of this world and the world around us. And secondly, by living in a way that reflects the new life that you and I have in Christ. He said in that text that we are to walk as children of light, exposing the darkness of the sin that is around us, carrying forth the light of Christ that others so desperately need. And now, beginning in verse 15, where we're going to start today, the Apostle Paul begins to explain what it takes to walk as children of light. The first thing he says that we must do is to walk in wisdom. Look with me at our text here today, Ephesians 5, verse 15. Notice, follow along as I read. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And so as we look at this text today, Christians are to walk in wisdom is the main theme of this text. And I believe that our text tells each of us we must give careful attention to living wisely. See the wickedness of the world, which demands and motivates wise living. Grasp the foundation upon the wise, which wise living rests. If we do not live wisely, then we cannot consistently walk as children of light. We can't. But what is this wise living that Paul's talking about? What does he want us to understand? And let me say this. This morning I want us to see three things regarding this call for believers to walk in wisdom. We're going to look at first the manner of walking in wisdom. Then we're going to look at the motivation for walking in wisdom. And then the foundation for walking in wisdom. The manner, the first point, is going to be most of our sermon this morning. And then we'll look at the last two as we close out our time. I would say this, once again, Paul called attention to the walk of the believer. And really, Paul, that has been Paul's theme, his dominant theme since verse 1 of chapter 4. He's used this word five times. He uses it in chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 17, chapter 5, verse 2, 8, and now in 15. And really, what is he doing? It is obvious that Paul had a primary focus in mind when it came to the Christians here. The way they live their lives ought to be worthy of the Lord. The way they live their lives ought to be worthy of the Lord. As the Gentile, and he says, not as the Gentiles, in love, we ought to walk in love as children of light. The last time he uses this is the last time he uses this word to the letter, in this letter to the Ephesians. As Paul begins, Paul zeroes in first on the manner. A couple of things that he points out here that are pointed out to us in this text. First, on the manner, by giving their walk careful attention. We see this right away in verse 15. Notice the phrase, "Look carefully then how you walk." Look carefully. Your text might say, "Look carefully at how you walk." It describes how the believer is to consider his or her life. The believer is to give his or her life scrupulous attention. Be attention to every detail of our lives. Give the utmost concentration to the conduct of our lives to the Lord. In other words, we are to scrutinize, to examine our lives, to walk in light worthy of the Lord, exposing darkness. And I would say this, walking in wisdom is of such importance and such urgency that it demands our constant and careful attention. If you and I let our guard down at all, we will cease to walk in wisdom. You and I and every believer must continuously monitor our lives. It's sort of like if you think about quality control in a business. The modern focus in manufacturing world is monitoring the quality of a product. In other words, making sure that that product meets the highest standard of the company. I would say to you and submit to you this morning that the same is true of the followers of Jesus. We need to be monitoring our attitudes, our actions, our motives, our activities, our thoughts, and our feelings. We must give our walk careful attention if we are to walk in wisdom. You cannot walk in wisdom if you do not give careful attention to how you are living for Christ. Sometimes we are unwise simply because we are careless in our walk. So the question is, have you become sloppy in your Christian life? Let me give you one example of the way that we can become sloppy that might seem simple or silly, but it's not simple or silly at all, and that is coming to church. I mean simple or silly in the sense that I would say this to a body of believers who's in church. But the reality is that coming to church, being careful not to miss church. How many times have you heard, I hear this over and over and over, and I've even read this over and over and over. It doesn't really matter whether you're in church or not, or that you make it every Sunday. It doesn't really matter. We're not legalists. And if you talk to somebody about the importance of being in church every Sunday, that's oftentimes the argument that you hear. If you can make it, great. But if you can't, I understand. Can you imagine godly saints of the past taking such a sloppy attitude about church attendance? An approach to how we think about church? If we do not give careful attention to how we walk regarding some of the crucial disciplines of the Christian life, like gathering together with the saints, do not forsake the assembly with one another, our Christian walk will be sloppy and unwise. I'm not talking about in this message about those that miss because they're sick, someone that misses the church attendance with their home church because they're on vacation. I would encourage you to go to church when you're on vacation. But think about that. Circumstances come up. I understand that. But we're talking about someone who is constantly weighing the decision every week. The question that's asked around their dinner table is, are we going to church tomorrow? I hope that as you hear this, you realize that's really a foolish question. The assumption should be, we're going to church tomorrow. We'll be there. We'll worship together with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice the second thing here about walking in wisdom, the manner of walking in wisdom, and that is that we are, he says that we are to do this by living consistent with biblical truth. And we see this in the second half of verse 15 where he says, not as unwise, but as wise. Here was Paul's call for walking in wisdom. Here was Paul's call for living wisely. They were to give attention to make sure they walked wisely. The word unwise here pertains to being foolish. The word wise is a demonstration of wisdom which is divine in nature and origin. Walking wisely, in contrast to walking unwisely, is really tied to an Old Testament concept. And so as we think about that contrast, practical application of biblical truth for the purpose of living a successful and godly life. In Old Testament wisdom literature, the wise man knew and obeyed the law. And the unwise did what? The unwise and the foolish ignored and failed to follow biblical precepts. We read that throughout the Old Testament. Read Proverbs. To live as a wise person is not just to, and here's the key, is not just to possess or to have biblical knowledge, but it is to have skill in living consistently with that biblical knowledge. A wise life is able to put biblical principles and biblical truth into practice in day-to-day living. That is wise living. It's taking that which we know, which we've learned from the scriptures, and living that out in our lives. A Christian can have a ton of knowledge, but demonstrate very little wisdom. Biblical knowledge is vital, as we'll see in a minute, but biblical knowledge that is not applied is utilized in a life of practical godliness and is essentially worthless. It is knowledge for knowledge's sake. I would contend that this is also why a young believer can be wiser than an old believer. Experience can help develop wisdom, but only if the experiences of our life we seek to apply the biblical knowledge that we have. Experience alone is not enough. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," he says, "you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." If you read the word, if you hear the word, if you hear it preached, if you hear it taught, you hear it discussed, but you never apply it, you never put it into practice, you will always remain a babe in Christ. You will always remain a babe in Christ. You will always be unwise. Too many believers who love to be coddled. There's too many believers who love to continue to suck on the milk of the bottle. Too many believers who love to have their hearts and emotions stirred by coming to church. But I would submit to you that there are too few who truly want to strive to apply God's word. Paul's charge to every believer is that walking in wisdom, it demands diligent and consistent application of biblical truth. That is the only way to develop wisdom. It is the only way for you and I to walk wisely. It is the only way for you and I to reflect those who we are in Christ, to others who we are in Christ. And so I would ask you this morning, are you living wisely? Are you living consistently with the biblical truth? Are you living consistently with what you're reading, what you're hearing taught, what you're hearing preached? And notice the third thing about the manner of walking wisely. And he says that it's by taking every opportunity for the Lord. And look at verse 16. He says, "making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Taking every opportunity. I want to focus here on the first half of that verse, making the best use of the time. In other words, seizing every opportunity that God gives us. To exploit, to capitalize on, to make the most of, to buy up every opportunity that time offers so that we can live as God wants us to live. That's the point. Galatians 6:10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." And notice that verse says, "and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Living wisely then involves the diligent pursuit of every opportunity to apply biblical truth, to fulfill our Christian duty, to walk obediently, to bear fruit, to expose darkness, to serve the Lord, and to use our abilities for Him, to love the brethren, to reach the lost, to give to the work of the gospel. Every single opportunity, we are to seize it to walk as children of light, to walk worthy of the Lord. There's a study that had been done of the average 70-year-old man. And that study said this, that of a 70-year-old man has spent 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 years in amusements, 6 years at dinner, 5 years in transportation, 4 years in conversation, 3 years in education, 2 years in studying and reading. He has also spent another 4 years in miscellaneous pursuits. And of those, 45 minutes in church on Sunday and 5 minutes a day in prayer adds up to 5 months given to God. In fact, if a man has faithfully attended Sunday school and 2 one-hour services per week, he would spend only 1 year and 3 months in church out of 70 years. Why do I bring that up? Because I'm bringing it up to say to all of us, myself included, that if the only time that I am seeking the wisdom of God's word and seeking that it would be applied to my life is when I'm sitting in church, I'm not getting enough. I'm going to starve. I will continue to be the babe who needs the milk of the word. I will continue to be the babe who needs the milk of the word. Where does our time go? What do we do with the opportunities that we have to serve the Lord? What do we do with the opportunities that you and I have to live for Him? Do we honestly make the most of what we have? Do we genuinely seek and seize the time that God has given us for His purpose, for His program, for His mission, for His work, and for His glory? We live in a very busy age and culture. People seem to be busier now than they've ever been. They don't have time for anything. That's the number one thing that you hear is, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I get it that our schedules are busy. But can I suggest to you that we need to be sensitive to the opportunities that we get to live obediently? We need to be sensitive to the opportunities that we get to bear fruit for the glory of God's name, to live for the Lord in those moments, and to serve Him by serving others. We need to be careful that we are not wasting time that we could be used, that could be used for the Lord. It doesn't mean everything else that we use our time for and our pursuits of is sinful. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to be careful that we use every moment, every opportunity that God gives us. We need to examine our lives. Are we using our time wisely? And I would say to you this, and I'll be done at this point. This is more than just a quantity issue. It really is an expression of priorities and desires. Do we desire to use our time and seize the opportunities for the Lord? Or do our personal priorities take first place as well? Walking in wisdom means what? It means that a believer will take advantage of the opportunities that God gives him to serve Him and to live for Him. The manner of walking in wisdom. Secondly, this morning, I want us to see the motivation for walking in wisdom. And this brings us to the second half of verse 16. Second half of verse 16. Making the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. I don't need to stand up here and tell you about the days are evil. I don't need to give you long examples and illustrations about how days can be evil. Turn on the 5 o'clock news, the 4 o'clock news, the 9 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news. Open your web browser. It's all over. Turn on your radio in your car and your home. The days are evil. We live in wicked days. We live in evil days. But can I say something to you? Submit something to you? The days have always been evil since the fall. We don't live in a new day of evilness or wickedness. We see it come out in different ways. But evil and wickedness has always been since the fall of mankind and the rebellion against God. Paul moves from the manner of walking in wisdom to the reason and the motivation for giving careful attention to their walk, and that they would walk consistent with biblical truth and taken every opportunity to live for his glory, because the days are evil. The evil here means morally corrupt. Morally corrupt. Believers, we live in an evil age under the influences, limited control of the prince and the darkness of Satan. Ephesians 2:2. We covered that back in chapter 2. These are the days in which the outworking of depravity of man grows worse and worse. It is. These are the days in which light needs to be displayed in the lives of God's people. These are the days in which God's people need to seize every opportunity and to take the light of the gospel to those who are in darkness, with the hope that God will turn them to the light. These are the days of opportunity to proclaim the gospel, to produce good works that glorify God and testify of his grace. That Paul may even be speaking eschatologically here. And what do I mean by that? The eschatology just simply means end times. But in other words, with the idea that in God's eyes, the culmination of his program is fast approaching. We live in the midst of a wicked world that is under the condemnation of God, and we are on the edge of eternity. We are. Therefore, as believers, as ambassadors of Christ, we have only a short time to live out this eternal perspective. We only have a short time. You are not promised tomorrow. It is not a guarantee for you. It is not a guarantee for any one of us. That's why we need to take the opportunities that God gives to proclaim the light of Jesus Christ to a dark, fallen, sinful world. We should be motivated to always walk in wisdom, to be careful as how we walk, to be consistent with the biblical truth, to seize every opportunity to live for the Lord in the midst of and to counteract this evil around us. When things grow worse and worse in the world around us, we're living in the midst of an election year, right? Like, everything is a battleground. And I would say when things grow worse and worse around us, it's not for us to run and hide. It's not for us to shut our TVs off. I mean, I shut my TV off because I get tired of the garbage, right? But it's not for us to be like an ostrich and stick our head in the sand and just ignore everything that's going on around us. We can understand it for what it is. We can understand it for that God says the world is going to get worse and worse. But we can also understand that it is a time for us to live for the Lord. Is it a time for you and I to live wisely? It is a time for you and I to be salt and light, that light for Christ. It is a time for you and I to be a sweet aroma to God, to the praise of his glory and grace. Are you and I walking wisely in the midst of an evil and wicked generation? Or have you stuck your head in the sand and said, I can't deal with this? And because you can't deal with all the evil and the wickedness, you've missed the opportunities that God has given you in a perverse world for the light of the gospel to be shared in the midst of darkness. The manner of wisdom living, the motivation for wisdom living, and the last thing that I want us to look at here this morning is the foundation of walking in wisdom. Look with me at our last verse. Let's read that again. Just remind ourselves of the text. Therefore, because the days are evil, making the best of the time, because the days are evil, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, we have these words. This foolish means without understanding. It means senseless and prudent in action. It pertains not to not employing one's understanding, not using one's potential for understanding. It's saying this. It's saying, looking at the situation, I know what the right thing to do is. I ignore what the right thing to do is, and I do the wrong thing. I'm not applying the understanding, right? That's foolish. That's what the Bible calls foolish. So as we think about that, then what's the opposite of that? He says to understand. That is the ability to bring things together and to see them in relation to one another, to comprehend, to gain insight, to perceive. What is the believer to understand? Here in this text, he says to understand what? What the will of the Lord is, right? What God desires of us. The foundation of walking in wisdom is to comprehend God's will from God's word. As we said before, wisdom is not just knowledge, but it is based on and flows from knowledge. Our knowledge of God's word, our knowledge of his truth. This idea of understanding encompasses more than just raw knowledge of facts and principles. It involves comprehension, perception, insight, all of those. In other words, it is related to knowing a truth, but then also seeing and comprehending how that truth applies to my life. How does it apply to my life? How does it apply to me? What does it mean for my life? What implication does it have? What demand does it place on me? How must I apply it? How should I live differently in light of this truth that I've just learned? How should I think differently in light of this truth that I've just learned? That's understanding. That's what wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it and responding to it in a way of understanding. Theologically, it relates to the illumination work of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about. We must desire to know God's revealed will from God's revealed word, and we must seek to grasp its implication for our lives. Living wisely then takes that understanding and puts it into practice. That is why we must labor over God's word, not just casually read it. That is why we must understand that the Word of God is not just like any other book, but it is living. That is why we must ask vital questions like, what does the truth mean to me? How can I apply this truth to my life? Notice I'm not saying, what is the truth? The truth is established by the Word of God. I know we live in a world that denies that, but that is the truth. It's established by the Word of God. What does that truth mean to me, for me? How can I apply it to my life? Do I grasp the significance of this truth for my life? The one who walks in wisdom will ask such questions. And I would say to you, they will employ the understanding to conform their lives to the truth they grasp. So what is God's will for you and I that we are to know and do? I can say this to you this morning. For the Ephesians, the revelation that Paul was giving them, they were learning God's will as followers of Christ, and it is this: put off the old man, the old ways. Be renewed in your mind, in your thinking, and put on the new man, the new ways. It was how they were to walk. And I would suggest, based on what Paul's telling the Ephesians here, and that what is God's will is God desires for us to be devoted followers of Christ. That's God's will for us in this text. Don't live like the world. Don't live like the Gentiles lived. Put off the old ways. Put off the old mindset. Be renewed in your mind by the word of Christ, by the word of God. Put on the new man, the new ways, the new life that you have been given in Christ by God's grace. And you say, well, that's too easy. No, it's not. It's easy for us to see it, to comprehend it, to read it. But if we don't apply it, there's no understanding of it. If we don't do it. Every single day, every decision that goes through the mind of Gregor Body needs to be weighed. And I need to put off the old man in that decision. I need to be renewed in my thinking, and I need to put on the new man. Every action that I do, everything that I choose, I should put off the old man and put on the new. allowing my mind to be renewed in Christ and His Word and the power of His Word. If I do that, if you do that, then we will live out the will of God. We will be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we will be devoted followers of Christ, and we will do this in the context of the local New Testament church. We will be committed to Christ. The mission is to glorify God. To glorify God by serving in His church, being committed to His church, being committed to spiritual growth, to serving, to being committed to the reaching out with the gospel according to the precepts of the Word of God. We are not to be foolish. We are not to be unwise, not to follow the world's wisdom, not to understand. We are to understand what God wants, and we are to do it. I don't stand up here and share this truth, and I'm not thinking about that we have a whole church that doesn't do this. I'm really grateful for our church. I'm grateful for men and women that this is a regular practice in their life. And not just men and women, teens and children. I'm thankful for those that are faithful. But I am telling you that there are many who have been faithful to living their lives for God, just like you are, you can be, you choose to be, who, remember, go back to the beginning of the message, in a moment, lived as unwise. And then that moment of living as the unwise, as the foolish person, they lived like the world. They lived for the flesh. You and I live in a corrupt, evil day. But you and I ought to not live like the evil, corrupt world around us. Our lives ought to reflect that which Christ is calling us to. Exercising wisdom. Wisdom is more than just knowledge. It is the proper application of knowledge. Every believer is called to walk in wisdom. We looked at three things today: the manner in which we walk in wisdom, by giving careful attention to our walk, living consistent with biblical truth, taking every opportunity we have to live for the Lord. We looked at the motivation for walking in wisdom, which was the wickedness and the evil of the days that we live in. We need to walk as children of light. And then lastly, we looked at the foundation for walking in wisdom, and that was comprehending and grasping God's truth and its application for our lives, that we might live according to God's will. The question that I have for us this morning is, are we seeking to walk in wisdom? Are we encouraging each other to walk in wisdom? Are we willing to come alongside and help a brother or sister in Christ walk in wisdom, to do God's will? God, we thank You for this text. We thank You for this message. And Lord, there's a sense in which this message is something that, if we've been believers very long, we've probably heard preached many times. We've heard taught in different ways, not just here in Ephesians, but Lord, just walking according to Your will and not according to this world. But I pray that in my own heart, my own mind, and those hearts and minds that are in this room, that this is a message that we would never grow weary of, that would never grow old to us. But it's a message that we would continually be reminded that I need this message. I need to examine my own heart and my own life and my own motives before You, my God. Are we walking in wisdom? Are we putting off the old life, being renewed in our mind, and putting on the new life? Are we living for the glory of God according to the will of God? I pray that for each of us here today. Lord, if there's one here that does not know Christ, there's one here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sins, to have a right relationship with their Creator, their God, I pray that they would understand today that apart from Christ, there is no hope. There is no forgiveness of sin. There is no walking in wisdom. There is only wretchedness, sinfulness, walking like living as part of the world. But today could be the day of salvation. May you call them to trust Christ today through the power of the gospel. We ask for these things in the name of our Savior. Amen.